Thank you. Thank you, Eleni. Always feels like Christmas when she sings that song, doesn't it? Such a beautiful song. I heard aging in the stages of life described this way. You believe in Santa Claus. You're not sure what you think about Santa Claus. You are Santa Claus. You look like Santa Claus. So even though I'm getting a little older, I still feel like a child at Christmas, especially reading from Luke 2. And so let's begin with our text today. I'll begin by reading Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 20. Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 20. And there were shepherds living out in their fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Messiah the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angel praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. At Christmas time, heaven and earth come together. And we see this commingling of earthly and heavenly reflected in our December activities and traditions. We display nativity scenes right alongside of nutcrackers and holiday villages. We turn on electric trains below our trees, and at the top of our trees we have battery-powered angels. We give to the Salvation Army and to the church. We open white elephant gifts for a laugh, and we give gifts from the giving tree in Jesus' name. We decorate our houses with lights, and we worship the arrival of the light of the world. On Christmas Eve, we read the night before Christmas and the story of the birth of a child in a manger. We journey to Bethlehem and to Bedford Falls. We sing "White Christmas" and "Joy to the World," "Deck the Halls" and "Silent Night." During the Christmas season, it seems like heaven and earth are joined together. And in our passage today, a familiar story of shepherds and angels. For a few moments, heaven and earth come together in some fields just outside of Bethlehem. I read this quote this past week that kind of served as inspiration for today's sermon. The scholar Darrell Bach makes this comment about Luke 2. He says, "The birth of the Son of God involves the response of all the parts of creation, from those who tend sheep to those who watch over them from heaven." This morning we're continuing our series, The Characters of Christmas, and today we're going to focus on two sets of characters. I couldn't decide. We're going to focus on two sets of characters, the shepherds and the angels. And through their short shared story, we're reminded at Christmas, heaven and earth come together, serving as a sign of future hope. And we meet the shepherds in Luke chapter 2, verse 8, that familiar verse, "And they were shepherds living out in their fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night." You know, today we usually kind of have a warm and fuzzy view of the shepherds. Usually in our Christmas programs, cute little children with sticks and pillowcases over their heads portray the shepherds of Luke chapter 2. But biblical scholars tell us of a very different portrayal of an ancient Near Eastern shepherd. Here's a thought that was shared. First century shepherds were at the lower end of the socioeconomic ladder. They were typically uneducated, usually poor, and since they lived among their animals in the elements, sometimes they smelled like dirty sheep. The shepherds were common, everyday people, people like you and me. They were average Joes, living paycheck to paycheck, doing the same routine job every day, living on a prayer, and wondering if there would ever be anything more to life than simply herding sheep. And yet, it was to common shepherds, working the night shift, that God chose to reveal a message of good news, of great joy. Author Daniel Darling comments on the significance of the shepherd's inclusion in the Christmas story. Luke is reminding us by mentioning the shepherds that the kingdom of God isn't just for insiders, but for outsiders, like shepherds, like the poor classes that Mary and Joseph came from. Emmanuel, God with us, means God is truly among all classes of people, not simply the powerful and wealthy of society. Once again, the original characters of Christmas teach us that God often chooses to work through and bless the humble, the ordinary people who in faith are simply waiting for heaven to arrive on earth. And in Luke 2:9, for a few sacred moments, the veil between the two worlds is pulled back, and earthly shepherds catch a glimpse of heavenly glory. And it was during the darkness of the first Christmas night, as shepherds huddled around a fire trying to keep warm while also trying to keep a protective eye on the sheep, that we encounter the most active characters of Christmas. And it's the angels. Luke 2:9, an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. You know, angels are everywhere at Christmas time, it seems. They're part of our church decorations. Past few weeks, I keep forgetting to turn them on. First Hour hasn't known that we've had angels up there. They're on the cover of our holiday cards. They're ornaments on our trees, and they're on the top of our trees as well. And angels are also very busy in the original biblical Christmas story, sharing the mysterious plans of God with Zechariah and Mary and Joseph, and now these shepherds. And angels play a prominent role in God's salvation story, especially at Christmas time. And yet, we're also reminded that we really know very little about the nature and identity of angels. They're really just kind of a riddle to us. You know, we discover the presence of angels throughout the pages of the Bible, and so they're living beings, and so they're part of God's creation. Psalm 8 places angels slightly above human beings because of their spiritual nature and their superior knowledge and power. The book of Job, chapter 38, describes angels praising God as he does his creation work, which hits at their primary role, which is worship and devotion to God. And as part of their devotion, angels are deployed by God as his agents of judgment and at other times of salvation. And in the biblical nativity story, angels are used by God as his messengers of joy and hope. And so the word angel literally means messenger. There's two passages in the book of Hebrews that are very interesting that shed light on the purpose and the nature of angels. Hebrews 1:14 teaches that angels are ministering spirits sent to serve God's people. And so we may have more questions than answers, but in some sense, angels are a means that God goes about caring for us. And Hebrews 13:2 is a fascinating verse. Do not forget to show hospitality to strangers, for by doing some people may have shown hospitality to angels without even knowing it. And we hear that verse and we wonder, how on earth could we have missed an angel in our presence? And the verse offers, I think, kind of a corrective to our cultural understanding of angels. When we picture angels, we picture powerful winged creatures. When we think of angels, we think of Clarence from It's a Wonderful Life getting his wings. Every time a bell rings, an angel gets its wings. And it's true that the Bible in various places such as Isaiah 6 picture winged creatures around the throne of God, but they're not necessarily called angels. They're called seraphim and cherubim. If we look through Scripture, honestly, we're going to have a hard time finding an image of angels with wings. Typically, they simply appear as human beings, as glorified beings. And this is why the author of Hebrews encourages us to treat everyone with love and kindness, because the recipient of our hospitality may in fact be an angel. There could even be some angels among us today. And as I look around in the crowd, I don't see any, actually, but I'm just kidding. You know, I've talked with some Christians over the years that believe that they've had an experience with angels. Usually it has to do with like a really stressful or kind of a crisis situation. Maybe you have a story like that. When I was in 11th grade, I was in a bad car accident. I was in a car full of guys. We were going to play basketball, and we were hit head on. And obviously, I have very little memory of anything around that. But apparently, I was extracted from the car, but I do have a faint memory of laying on the side of the road in the grass, waiting for the ambulance to come and for my parents to come. And there was somebody there with me, talking with me, comforting me, holding my hand. I never found out who that comforting presence was for those few minutes. And if we believe God's word, then angels are active among us, though their exact nature and identity is going to probably remain a mystery to us. But they were very, very busy during the first Christmas. Let's just take a moment and consider the message of the angels to the shepherds. In verse 10, it says, it begins this way, "Do not be afraid." In fact, each time the angels come to one of the biblical Christmas characters, they begin with that admonition not to be afraid. I heard about a little boy who was getting his first acting gig as an angel in a Christmas pageant. And before the big moment came for him to deliver his lines to the shepherds, he was too nervous. And instead of saying, "It is I, don't be afraid," he said, "Here I am, and I'm scared to death." You know? I read this past week that "do not fear" was the most searched for and read verse this past year. And you just think about just the mindset of people. Fear has cast a large shadow over 2020. But the message of the angel reminds us that as Christians, we have nothing to fear. At Christmas, the curtain is pulled back. And for a few moments, the light pierces the darkness. And heaven invades the earth in the form of a baby in a manger. And the birth of Jesus assures us that we are not forgotten by God, and that God's loving presence is with us, Emmanuel. And the angel goes on to reveal to the shepherds that God's King, the Savior of the world, has been born in the town of Bethlehem. And at that moment, the door to heaven is open, and the angelic choir comes forth and declares, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth, peace to those on whom his favor rests." The angels proclaim a message of God's peace for his people, for those who hear the invitation and receive the invitation of the gift of the Savior. The promise of Christmas is the favor of God, the grace and the peace of God will descend and rest upon those who are willing to hear and receive the invitation of a newborn king. Yeah, we had a great time caroling this past Sunday night. We had enough people there to kind of drown out Brad Bowman's singing, which was good. Some of our most beloved Christmas carols are songs about angels and shepherds. "Angels we have heard on high, sweetly singing over the plains. Shepherds, why this jubilee? Why the joyous strains prolong? It came upon the midnight clear, that glorious song of old, from angels bending near the earth to touch the harps of gold." And my favorite Christmas carol, Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King, peace on earth and mercy mild, God and sinners reconciled. I learned something new this past week. I should have never really investigated it, but the word hark in the familiar carol means listen. Listen up. And I think it's an appropriate word to keep in mind during the holiday season. Each Christmas, heaven and earth are once again joined together for a few weeks. And once again, we have the opportunity to hear the angel's message of the end of fear, of good news, of great joy, of Emmanuel, of a Savior being born, and of the promise of peace in our hearts. But to hear the song of the angels, we have to be paying attention. We need to guard against being too distracted with our earthly traditions that we miss the advent of heaven on earth. The shepherds heeded the angels' message. They went to Bethlehem to observe the sign of heaven's arrival with their own eyes. And after visiting the manger, the Bible tells us that they returned to their fields, sharing the good news along the way with anyone who was willing to listen. The shepherds would become the church's first missionaries. And after these extraordinary events of the first Christmas, Luke 2:20 tells us that the shepherds returned to their fields and to their sheep. In some ways, life would continue as before. But in other ways, life would never be the same again. Because when heaven comes to earth, the earth is forever changed. One of my favorite books on Christmas is a book entitled The Spirit of Christmas. And it has a quote in it. It's really a beautiful thought. The author, Dan Schaefer, he says this: "Everything changed when Jesus entered our world. The power of sin would soon be broken and Satan's plans would be crushed. God's grace had been born into the world, a power so great that nothing could prevail against it. Today, the sinful momentum of our world continues, making everything seem as it was before Jesus came. But a new kingdom has been established. And by faith, we live in the long shadow of that promise. At Christmas, the shadow seems to lift for a moment, and we seem so much closer to that day. With its celebration, joy, excitement, warmth, and holiness, Christmas reminds us that although many wonderful promises have been fulfilled in our midst, we are still waiting for the last eternal Christmas morning that will one day last forever." Each Christmas, for just a few moments, heaven and earth, light and darkness, the natural and the supernatural, the ordinary and the extraordinary, shepherds and angels are joined together. And because of this mingling of the sacred and the secular, eternity and earth, sorrow and joy, Christmas serves as a sign. It's a sign of hope. The question is, what does the sign point to? I think it points to the new creation, the future new heaven and new earth at the end of time. Christmas points to the day when the veil between heaven and earth will be no more, the day when joy to the world and peace on earth will be a reality for all people. The sign of Christmas points to, it's a glimpse of, it's a taste of, the day when the hopes and fears of all the years will be fulfilled in the person of Jesus. The day when the baby in Bethlehem will reign in his kingdom as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. The day when the common shepherds of the world, people like you and me, will join with angels around the throne of God in singing the salvation song of Revelation 5. In a loud voice they were saying, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and praise." Then I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and on the sea and all that is in them saying, "To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be praise and honor and glory and power forever and ever." But this new creation is still somewhere in the distant future, God's future. And so until that day when heaven and earth are permanently united, we'll continue to open presents around a tree, we'll continue to sing carols, and we'll continue to recite the hopeful story of angels and shepherds, a story that reminds us and serves as a sign that a better day is coming. Silent night, holy night, shepherds quake at the sight, glory stream from heaven afar, heavenly host sing alleluia, Christ the Savior is born, Christ the Savior is born. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the birth of your Son who came into the world 2,000 years ago to reveal you to us, to make you known in a deeply personal way, to bring healing to the world and into our lives, to free us from the shackles of sin, to allow new birth to be possible, to make a relationship for eternity with you possible through his sacrificial death and resurrection. Father, we thank you for that wonderful gift. I pray today that we would hear the message of the angels, that we would not be afraid because Emmanuel has come, God with us. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.